That's the spirit.
Professor, are you there?
I am here. Looking forward to talking to you.
Oh, me too. I you know, there's been a little bit of shuffling happening, and it appears I may be a Monday regular, which is really nice for me because it means we get
That's great. Yeah, excellent.
We get to have these chats.
Good.
And so I'm looking forward to finding out more about today's. I've got the music set up playing in the background. I have a clue for people. This album is called Buddhist Instrumental Songs for Inner Healing, Tibetan Singing Bowls, Bells, Gongs and Flute, Ambient Nature Sounds. Is that about appropriate?
That sounds very appropriate.
What are we talking about today, Peter?
So we are talking about an international Buddhist conference that has been described in news reports on Radio New Zealand, and not much else can be found out about it, and this is intriguing me.
Oh, okay. I saw one fact. There are 500 Buddhist monks coming to New Zealand and 28 countries worth of delegates.
Precisely. So this is quite a big event.
Yeah.
I would imagine if you're at the airport, you're going to see a lot of yellow and brown robes passing through the airport in the next day or two.
You know, I am going to the airport four times tomorrow, so that is quite exciting.
Keep a watch.
Yeah, not
keep
for that reason, but...
And so, in theory, this is a very significant conference.
Yeah.
Because... Buddhist summits are not that common. In fact, Buddhists, you know, have been pretty profoundly divided by different approaches to Buddhism, especially, you know, there's one big division between the more traditional Buddhists, the Theravada Buddhists, and the ones who developed new ways of Buddhism, and that was the part that spread throughout Southeast Asia and into China and Japan.
Uh-huh.
But these councils bring together the different traditions of Buddhism.
Ah, right.
And they're therefore significant because they're trying to create some kind of Buddhist presence that can speak to contemporary issues and can show that Buddhism is relevant to what is going on. Here, I think the theme of this conference sounds really quite extraordinarily interesting.
Yeah.
Because one might have thought Buddhism would have a very clear voice on environmental issues. But it's clear that from the report by Radio New Zealand, that in fact there's far from complete agreement.
Yeah.
That ways of translating Buddhism's environmental concerns into contemporary issues is really problematic. The particular issue that was cited is that simply releasing animals that you've saved from being killed back into an environment where they're actually in danger is not, in fact, environmentally friendly, and it isn't really akin to what you might think was best Buddhist practice.
Right, and also from what I was reading as well, the practice sometimes includes releasing animals into the wild that are maybe not meant to be there. And
indeed, could not suit the wild. So these seem very good topics to be discussed.
Yeah.
The aspect that has me got a little bit puzzled is this is said to be part of the conferences that have been going on since 1966. And if that is so, and there is a Wikipedia web page about listing those conferences, strangely enough, there's no listing of a conference in Auckland. And they do have lists of conferences coming up. And the last conference was much bigger than this, was double the size of this. And so this may not be all that it's said to be. It may be just a limited council of particularly... It's important to understand it's Buddhist monks that are gathering.
Yeah.
Not all Buddhists, but it's the monastic tradition where Buddhism is most particularly guarded, and that's the groups that are meeting. I'm not sure how significant this conference is. It's taking place at two South Auckland monasteries, one in Bombay, one in, where was the other?
The Flatbush.
Yes.
I visited that for the first time the other day and had a meal there. It's really impressive.
So what was your sense of the scale of that monastery? How many monks were in residence?
I don't know about in residence, but it was pretty big. It was like, you know, how do I put it? Felt pretty impressive. But I don't know if the Flatbush one is the one you're talking about. This is out just past Howick kind of area.
Now, where was the one that you went to?
I think it's called Flatbush. I don't know that.
Oh, no, this is not the Flatbush Monastery. Is far and away the biggest monastic community of Buddhists. But this, the Buddhist community in Flatbush is not completely mainstream Buddhism. And in fact, it's largely women who are the people in residence there now.
Right on. Okay. Well, so have you got some theories? I know that you don't. I don't know.
I've been trying to map the trends in Buddhism for a long time, and I've been trying to work out. And, you know, you have in the Buddhist community quite sharp divisions based on ethnicity and language.
Right.
And these are very, very difficult for a community like Buddhism to overcome because, you know, in some places where Buddhism is extremely strong, and the two big places would be Myanmar and Sri Lanka. In fact, these communities are caught in serious violence, ethnic violence and struggles. And that, to one extent, may make it very difficult for them to participate. And indeed, the Myanmar Buddhists may not be acceptable to the rest of the Buddhist world because they've been deeply engaged in ethnic violence against Muslims and Christians. The second group that won't be present is the Tibetans. Because Tibetan Buddhism and the Dalai Lama, strikingly, I mean, the last conference from this group was held in China, and you can be sure that the Dalai Lama was not there, nor any of his friends.
Right.
So that group is missing. And I think some of the Nichiren Buddhists from Japan, who tend to be much more about secular issues, I couldn't see that they were present, but I could have that one wrong.
Right.
Now, I think it is very hard work building an international community of when there's a diversity of points of view. And especially after the pandemic, I would think you almost have to start again from scratch. And I think that may have been what's been happening, that they're trying to rebuild an association that is struggling a bit.
Right.
But the fact is that it does try to build across as many boundaries of Buddhism as it possibly can. And that's significant. It's quite curious that they would meet in New Zealand, and this is why my theory that, in fact, then it's maybe not a main conference. The numbers are lower because Buddhism in New Zealand is not particularly strong. So there's about 52,000 Buddhists in New Zealand, according to the 2018 census. And it actually went down between 2013 and 2018. And that was largely due to the decline in the number of New Zealand-born Buddhists. It went down by about 40%.
Right.
So, which is quite interesting, because you imagine Buddhism is... And there was a time when Buddhism was a hugely popular in groups that were just fed up with Christianity.
Right, yeah. Like a kind of... Something to check out.
A peaceful and positive solution. And if... sometimes non-theistic. Certainly,
right.
It didn't require any particular belief in God.
I can see that. I know folks like that. Alfriston, someone says, is where Some of them are. Some of the people are.
Okay, is the other place, yes.
Yeah.
So, and almost all the big Buddhist monasteries inevitably are not in central Auckland. They're around the fringes. So there's quite, there's a number on the, in the north. There's a few in the west. And then there's this band of them across the south. And the big exceptions, I mean, there are Buddhist temples in probably the most popular of the Buddhist temples. Is the one pretty close to Green Lane, in Green Lane, near the race course. And there's the huge Flatbush monastery and temple,
which you
visited, and is a really impressive and delightful place to go to.
Honestly, total side note, but people should definitely give it a visit. I can't remember the name of it. I'll look it up. But there's a vegetarian restaurant there, and you can have a wander around. It's
every
remarkable.
Aspect of it, you feel very comfortable, and it's and there's a lovely big car park, which is also an attraction.
Very true. yeah, cool. But well, that, interesting. So when do you think there might be some clear information pop up?
I'm really hoping, because you see, the report came from the Chinese division of Radio New Zealand. See, that in itself is curious. So that would confirm that this may have strong affiliations to Chinese Buddhism, in which case we're probably going to have to wait from the same source to see a follow-up report. I will keep you posted on what I find.
Someone has texted in very dubious about RNZ's qualifications to report. And I have to say, well, you're not really listening to Radio New Zealand right now. You're listening to Peter Lynham, who knows his stuff. So, I mean, I actually do quite like Radio New Zealand, but...
so do I. So do I. But sometimes I think, as in every case, you just have to probe a little bit beneath the surface.
That's right. I'm opening a can of worms with this.
What did the reporter not ask?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the bit that intrigues me.
Oh, well, look, if there's a political overthrowing of the Buddhist order, then, you heard it here first.
We want to be first on the scene. Absolutely.
I better run and get some news ready. Thank you for that,
Excellent.
Though. You have successfully piqued my curiosity and no doubt that of many thousands of others who are tuned in.
Excellent. Very
All
good.
Right. Thank you so much, Peter. We'll talk again.
See you
next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, well, well. If you know anything, if you're on the inside there, give us a flick us a text on 5395. Yeah. Coming up after the break, I'm going to play some